I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
The Chris Ann Hall Show.
Any varmint that crosses that lady's path has met its match.
Come on!
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Show. Chris Ann Hall here, KRISANNEHALL.com. So happy to be here with you today. We have Elizabeth, the intern, with us. Say hi, Elizabeth.
Hi.
And we're going to be coming to you live for the last time with Elizabeth. She will be flying home to Idaho. And the fires have been contained, have they not?
Mostly. There's another one that's shooting up, and there's still more that are coming, so continue to keep them in your prayers. But
you know, what's interesting is that I have spent a significant time in Idaho this year teaching, and I've talked to the people who own those lands, and I've talked to the people who are on the volunteer fire departments and that sort of thing, and they have all told me that the reason they have these fires and the reason they're so bad is because the federal government, who is prescribing the management of this land, dictating, let's just say dictating, because that's what they're doing, dictating the management of this land, does not manage it properly. And this is a problem also in California, in Northern California, because I had a sheriff in Northern California tell me the problems that he had because the Forestry Service will not allow the residents to clean up the forest floor. So the EPA and the Forestry Service, they get together and they say, no, we have to save the environment and all the lumber that falls out of the trees and all the debris that's on the ground, it has to stay there. You can't contaminate the environment. And yet, all of that stuff becomes fuel when a fire happens.
Yeah, they're doing a really good job of protecting the environment.
Right. And so what happens is that these fires get totally out of control, and the people lose their homes, and firefighters mm-hmm. lose their lives, because if they were actually managing the land, they would do prescribed burns at times when the forest is not vulnerable to spreading fire, mm-hmm. and they would allow the residents to harvest the fallen debris. You can use that stuff, you know.
Right.
I mean, the trees that fall, they can use them for lumber. And I mean, you don't have to cut down trees to have lumber. You can harvest what's fallen and you can use it, and they can make paper, and they can do all kinds of things with that stuff. And yet, the EPA and the FDA, the Forestry Service, will not allow the people. You know, I really just have a hard time saying that will not allow, because in reality, they have no power over that land.
Mm-hmm.
The federal government was not delegated the authority to own land in forests, and they certainly were not delegated the authority to manage the land. And so they're not actually prohibiting the people access to their land. The people are allowing this to happen by allowing the federal government to have this authority over them, which is insane.
Yeah.
It's absolutely insane. Now, do you remember the toxic spill in Colorado? We have the picture here. Have you seen that before, Elizabeth?
I haven't yet. I think I've heard you talk about it, though.
Yeah. So the EPA allowed a mine to spill all this toxic stuff in this waterway that affected Colorado, Utah, and New Mexico.
Wow.
And it flowed for like a week
before
they stopped it. And this is what the river looks like. I'm showing Elizabeth a picture of the Orange River. You know, you've probably seen that famous picture with the three kayakers on the Orange River. Do you know what's interesting about that, Elizabeth?
Hmm.
The government, the federal government, has decided. Now, let's back up a little bit. Which government does the EPA work for?
The federal government?
Right, the federal government. So the federal government has decided that the Department of Interior, which is part of the federal government, will now investigate the EPA, which is part of the federal government, to determine whether the EPA has done something wrong.
That sounds a whole lot like some history I learned about.
I thought so. When I teach the 700 years of history that created the Constitution, we talk about Henry I and William II. William II was king after his father, William I, died. And William II was described as being a wicked, evil king. And William II would only rule for about 13 years because one day William II and his little brother Henry go hunting together. And there's a mysterious hunting accident where a stray arrow from Henry's hunting party mysteriously accidentally kills William II with an arrow square in the eye socket.
Yeah.
How do you accidentally shoot somebody right in the eyeball?
I'm not buying it.
Yeah. Well, Henry says to the people, you know, this circumstances surrounding the death of my brother seem a bit suspicious, so I want to put your mind at ease, and I'm going to call together three men, and I'm going to call them a grand tribunal. And these three men that I've called together are going to determine whether I'm at fault for the death of my brother or not. Three men chosen by the king to determine whether the king has killed his brother or not. The exact same thing here.
Yeah.
The Department of Interior, the federal government, actually investigating the EPA, which is the federal government. How do you suppose that's going to work out?
It's not.
No, it's absolutely crazy. And of course, what is Congress going to do about that?
Nothing.
Well, you know, I mean, they have oversight over the EPA. They have oversight over the Department of Interior. We could have another congressional hearing, right? But then how have those worked out for us? They're just more government investigating themselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many Benghazi hearings have we had? I think we're up to like 7 or 8. And Trey Gowdy still has done nothing. Nothing at all. He's talked a good talk and barked a lot, but he's never, ever done anything about it. Mm. And I wrote a letter to Trey Gowdy and published it in Western Journalism. And, I've never heard a reply from Trey Gowdy from
really?
My letter. No, never wrote me back. I got lots of angry letters from conservative, you know, I'm doing the quotation mark, conservative Republicans for beating up on Trey Gowdy, because after all, he's Trey Gowdy, right? And who am I? Who am I to criticize Trey Gowdy? And after all, Trey Gowdy is a representative. He knows what he's doing. He was a prosecutor, and now he's been elected. And since he's been elected, he now has been deemed an absolute infallible genius. I was a prosecutor, too.
Mm-hmm.
Do I get to be an infallible genius, too?
In my eyes.
I get to be an infallible genius only when I'm anointed by election. And that's the crazy stuff. So now we have senators and we have congressmen who are apparently okay. The oversight committees are telling us they're going to plan hearings after Congress returns from its August recess, because, you know, vacations are important to our congressmen. And after their congressional hearings, they'll review what the Department of Interior has to say, or during their investigations, they'll review what the Department of Interior has to say.
Oh, dear.
Americans, really. When are we going to get tired of these dog and pony shows? Because these congressional hearings, Elizabeth, I don't know if you know this or not. I know my listeners who listen regularly know this, that Congress actually had a congressional hearing on the EPA already. They found out that the EPA was taking taxpayer dollars to conduct research to create proper regulations on diesel fuel emissions. They received complaints that the EPA was fudging the research so that all of their regulations created were based on false data, which means people lost businesses, people lost income, people lost all kinds of stuff, businesses lost all kinds of things based on fudged data. So Congress calls this congressional hearing to investigate the EPA on all this fudged data. Only to find out that not only did the EPA fudge the data from the research, they never did the research at all. They took the taxpayer dollars to do the research, but they never did the research itself.
What were they doing?
Getting fat off your tax dollars. That's what they were doing. You know, bonuses and sitting around, you know, paying people to do nothing, shuffle paper and make regulations that steal our livelihoods and ruin our economy.
Hmm.
So, knowing that the EPA has already been brought to the carpet, they had this congressional hearing, they proved this to be true, and Congress did nothing but continued to fund the EPA. So now we're going to have another beautiful congressional hearing. We're going to allow the Department of Interior to investigate the federal government. And, you know, I mean, seriously, I don't think people realize how closely the Department of Interior works with the EPA. I mean, they're practically one and the same thing. The Department of Interior is the land management branch. They're the ones that take land from the people and then assign it to the Forestry Service and assign it to the Bureau of Land Management, the EPA. They work together. They're the same stinking team. And now they're going to investigate. Good news, though, is that the same agency that destroyed a river that feeds three states in the Union is now going to tell you what water is safe or not, right? They're going to regulate the water in your backyard. Now, I've been teaching this for quite some time now, but the Clean Water Act, that's been on the books for a while. But the Clean Water Act is absolute ridiculousness at its height. The Clean Water Act says that the federal government has jurisdiction over navigable waters. Now, they have diminished, diluted, and even eliminated the word navigable in some places so that their ruling reigning over water and their definition of navigable water means now any puddle that sits for more than 90 days.
Wow.
So if you have a puddle in your yard or in your driveway that sits for 90 days, the EPA thinks that that's navigable water and they have the right to come on your land and dictate policy to you.
My goodness.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
A puddle that sits in your yard for 90 days or in your driveway or at the ditch in your front yard, and probably even less if they come up with other criteria. You know, I mean, after all, they've determined that navigable means a puddle. I'm sure they could diminish it even more than that at this point. Is now water that can be managed, maintained, ruled, and regulated by the EPA. Awesome. The EPA and the Army Corps of Engineers. You know, there's an interesting story about the EPA and the Army Corps of Engineers in the state of Florida. So the Army Corps of Engineers and the EPA, the Department of Interior, get together to try to figure out how to manage the water and the waters of the swampland there in Florida.
Okay.
And so they begin building all of these trenches around the Everglades, our big swampland there in Florida. And then the next thing you know, they're actually draining the Everglades. Now, the Everglades is just swampland and within that swampland has built up of peat moss. That's how it works. And so they removed the water, beginning to destroy the environment completely, so much so that the United Nations has deemed the Everglades in a state of emergency. Not because of global warming, not because of land mismanagement by the ranchers and the farmers and the people of Florida, but because the Army Corps of Engineers got together and had this bright idea to fix the environment by creating these rerouting of the water in the Everglades. Not only that, when you remove the water from the Everglades, all that peat moss, I don't know if you know this or not, but peat moss is highly flammable.
Mm.
Florida is the lightning capital of the world.
Wow.
I don't know. Maybe that's an exaggeration, but I know for a fact that it's the lightning capital of the United States. It probably is the world. But anyway, so what happens when you have flammable peat moss in the lightning capital?
Problems.
Fires, right?
Wow.
And so they dealt with that. And so now they're trying to restore the Everglades. And by restoring the Everglades, they mean they have placed all of these crazy rules and regulations on the farmers and the ranchers, taken land from the people in the name of environmental preservation and easements, right? We're not actually taking the land from you. You can actually have the land. You will still pay taxes on that land. But you can't do what you want with that land without the permission of the Department of Interior and the United Nations.
No way.
Isn't that awesome? And that's who is going to tell us how to manage the puddle in your yard. How awesome is that? I think that's great. So we don't have a very good track record with government getting involved and rerouting our water, right? Because they got into this whole thing to prove the environment, and they ended up totally screwing it up. So now, California has a plan. I'm sure they've worked out with the EPA as far as all this goes. I'm sure the EPA is all involved in this. And this plan is to take land from the farmers to build a huge pipeline to steal water from Northern California and pump it to Southern California. California is full of farmland. A lot of people don't think of that. They think of L.A. and that sort of thing. California is full of farmland. A lot of where we get our green foods and our fruits and our vegetables all come from this part of California. And now the farmers are going to have to fight to keep their water because their own government is stealing from them. Now think about what the Army Corps of Engineers did with the Everglades in order to improve the environment. How do you suppose building an underground pipeline to take water from one part of a state and move it down to another part of the state? How do you suppose that's going to affect the whole state?
Well, it's taking up farmland and messing with the dirt and the farms.
Right, but they're taking the water. That means all this water up here is not going to be staying with them.
Right.
They have created plans to acquire land from 300 farms to build this tunnel, this pipeline that's going to carry water to Southern California. Do you think Southern California will need for water will ever be satiated?
No.
My mom always said I was born for this, and some people wouldn't like that I was different. It never really mattered how hard it would be, because she filled me with love and the strength to live. She said,
the Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
So California is working to take 300 acres or acres of land from 300 farms in the Delta to build this tunnel, this pipeline, to move water from Northern California to Southern California. Part of this is that Southern California is a desert. Okay? They don't have their own water. And they have used up every bit of water that they had because people are trying to build big cities and run big cities in a desert. Okay? So what you have now is the government taking land from a part of the state, moving it to the desert. The desert will never be filled with water. The people will never be satiated. So they will steal all the water from the north to the south. What happens when they've totally messed up the environment like the Army Corps of Engineers did with the Everglades in Florida? Mm-hmm. What happens when Northern California no longer has water? Does that mean they start building a pipeline into Oregon? Wow. And start taking their water? You know, I mean, this has to really, really end. And we have to, and the crazy thing is, Elizabeth, I do a lot of teaching in Northern California. And I got bad news for the California government. These people in NoCal are not going to put up with this.
Good.
They are, I'm telling you, there are people, and I hate to say this out loud, but there are people that are willing to fight to the greatest extent if the federal government tries to do this. I'll remind everybody who listens to the show regularly, tell the people that are new, there is a whole movement in Northern California for Northern California to split from California. It's called the State of Jefferson. They have their own flag already. They have their own state motto. They have the borders of the state drawn up legally, and they've hired lawyers to make sure this happens because there is precedent for a state to split. We have the ability to do that. And so they're going to file all these documents to split Northern California from Southern California. Now, you have to have permission from the state legislators to do a split. So what the Northern California has to do is petition Southern California to agree for them to go. Do you think they're going to agree?
No.
Well, Northern California is not going to give them a choice. They've already determined we're going whether they let us or not. And one of the really cool, clever things that they have is that in order our Constitution requires every state to be a republic. And when you're a republic, you have to have equal representation for all your people in lawmaking. And there has been a standard created that has been followed throughout law that says this population has to have at least these many representatives in order to be a proper republic. Well, California, even by the most conservative standards, are way out of whack. And that's part of the reason that Northern California wants to leave, because they have no equal representation in their state capital. That's how things like this pipeline to steal their water can take effect, because they don't have equal representation in their state capital. So they're going to sue and say, look, you've got to make this standard. You've got to make this right. You have to make sure that we have equal representation so that we are not ruled over by a majority and we stop being a republic instead of the democracy that you're trying to make us, this mob rule thing. The interesting thing is California is actually called the Republic of California, and they don't act like it. Now, here's the catch. California cannot comply. It is physically impossible for California to provide representation in the numbers that they're required to do. And so what Northern California is going to do is say, comply and give us equal representation. And if you can't, then you have to let us go. That's the only negotiation we're going to do with you.
Clever.
It's very clever. It's very, very clever. It's really, really awesome. And I'm very proud of them. And they're going. And this whole idea, this plan for confiscating farmland to build water tunnels is going to throw these people over the edge. They are not going to let their water resources go because these are farmers. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, if you're, I hate to be all critical, but if you're stupid enough to try to live in a desert and wonder why you have no water, okay, don't take water from me when I've been smart enough to live in a place where we actually have some, right? And I'm not saying you can't live there. Fine, live. Live wherever you want. We'll live wherever your heart's desires, wherever liberty takes you. But, you know, you had a conversation with Colton on the way home from the meeting, and you said, Colton, you are free to disobey your parents anytime you want to. You realize that. You just have to be willing to suffer the consequences for disobeying your parents, right? You can live anywhere you want. You can build a house anywhere you want. Liberty says, just do it. But if you build a house in the desert, then you'd better be willing to suffer the consequences for the fact that you built your house in a desert where there is no water.
Absolutely.
So, now we have people, once again, with an entitlement mentality, who are no longer are responsible for themselves, because government is responsible for them now, and government will take care of them. And not only do we steal money from people to give to other people in the name of entitlement and welfare, we are now going to steal resources, water, and land from people. The crazy thing is that these people are going to have this land stolen from them with literally no due process at all. It's they're using an abuse of eminent domain. Not giving them the proper due process to save their land, not giving them the proper due process to get a value of their land, and all in the name of a controversial water tunnel that most experts, according to this RT article, most experts don't even believe will actually work, just like the Everglades in Florida. Man, I tell you what, people had better get a clue, because we're headed down the long, wrong road, and it's going to be hard to get back. You know, we're day number 3 of our political awakening about the Pied Piper song about the presidential elections, right? Presidential elections, and 15 months away. And all we can do is talk about two people. And I'm scouring, right? And so I'm seeing Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, Donald Trump. Oh, I actually saw a couple of articles on Ben Carson. I saw an article on Marco Rubio. Marco Rubio actually hit some kids in the face with a football at one of his little appearances. And that was newsworthy, right? So he accidentally hit some kids in the face with a football, and we've got to report that in the news. And that's it. Still not another single word about 469 seats in Congress.
Wow.
In the mainstream media, not a single word. You would think with 469 seats up for grabs, that would be newsworthy. That's a lot of elections. And not a single word. And I'm going to keep counting, because this is day number 3. I'm going to start having to take like a little tally, because I think I'm going to lose track after a while. But this is day number 3, and still no news about 469 seats. And I think that's something that is very, very newsworthy. The fact that it is blatantly obvious that the media is avoiding the real solutions. We haven't talked about any of the local elections. Surely some of these local elections would have some kind of national impact, especially in these communities that are highly populated and garner a lot of political power. So day number 3, still no word about 469 seats in Congress up for grabs. But we still have to talk about the Iran deal, right? Because that's a big controversy too. Because, you know, the president, he can make international executive orders now, right? International executive orders. Well, the new leak of the new leak of the secret arrangements within the UN Iran Obama deal says back to Henry I, right? Back to the EPA investigating itself. The United Nations is going to allow Iran to investigate itself on nuclear arms. Is that cool? Iran is going to investigate itself by secret agreement, right? We're not supposed to know this. This is leaked. Secret agreement. Obama has agreed, and the UN has agreed, that Iran will investigate itself on nuclear weapons. How's that going to work out for us, Elizabeth?
It's not.
Well, of course not. Anytime the government has the power to investigate itself, maybe we could trust a really good government, a really honest people. You think Iran falls into that?
No.
I don't think America falls into that as far as our government is concerned.
Right.
But now, the Iranian government will now, according to the United Nations, be allowed to investigate itself. I don't know. I mean, I'm absolutely stunned. And they still will not divulge the contents of this agreement, this secret agreement. And Iran's going to investigate themselves. I can't really wrap my brain around that. Remember, the president doesn't have the authority to make international executive orders any more than he has the authority to make national executive orders. But we've got to have this whole drama, right? This whole controversy. And the congressman, and it's going to be a Republican versus Democrat thing because he's a Democrat president. Oh, the Republicans will just oppose the Iran deal because he's a Democrat. You know, the crazy thing is, they're probably right.
Mm-hmm.
Because if George Bush was making a deal with Iran, they'd be like, we got to back this deal. And the only way the Democrats would go against it is because he's a Republican president. And that's what happens when you have political teams, right? We talked about this. Was that yesterday? We talked about campism and tribalism. I think that was yesterday. We talked about that. So now I'm going to take the last few minutes of the show. We have a few minutes left in this section. We have the next section. And since this is Elizabeth's last show with us, I'm going to give Elizabeth the opportunity to say goodbye to everybody. And I'm also going to give her the opportunity to ask some questions and maybe make some statements. Some charges that she would like to have everybody who's listening to this show know and learn and do. Because Elizabeth has now been with me for 9 days, and she's going home tomorrow. So when we get back from the break, I'm going to let Elizabeth take the mic. And first, you're going to see if you have any questions or any statements, and then we'll let you close out with everybody. So stick with us. Just one more section left.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist. Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Show. You know what I just noticed, Elizabeth? I just noticed that I pulled up an old show template. And so all the bumpers are like old school.
Are
this is
really?
Like the retro Chris Ann Hall Show. So all the people who know this show and follow this show on a regular basis are going to be like, what happened to Chris Ann's bumper? Is this a replay? No, it's not a replay. It's a brand new show. I just pulled up an old show format, so we get old school day with Chris Ann Hall. We did a new presentation for you tonight.
Yes.
Sort of was like halfway new and halfway not new because... this presentation is a presentation that I call Nullification or Article 5. It's a discussion on these two principles of constitutional remedy, Article 5 and Nullification. Now, you've heard the Nullification section before in more detail.
Yes.
With the state sovereignty class.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we cover the nullification within the state sovereignty class because nullification is so intimately related with state sovereignty. Well, so is Article 5, but nonetheless. And Article 5 was sort of new for you.
Yes.
Were you familiar with Article 5 before we had done this?
No.
No. Okay, so we taught you something totally new then.
Mm-hmm.
The means by which we can amend the Constitution are dictated within the Constitution, and we can't just simply amend the Constitution, and the Congress can't just simply write laws to amend the Constitution. Article 5 dictates how that's supposed to work.
Hmm.
And was there anything that sort of jumped out at you? The concerns or the things about Article 5? I mean, was it so new that it was kind of hard to grasp some of it, or was there some things that you thought, wait a minute, this is very interesting?
Now, there was one thing that you mentioned that does have me a little confused, and that was I heard you say a couple of times that the Article 5
convention
could be very dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering why that is.
Okay, well, it's really what James Madison said why it would be dangerous is because of the fact that an Article 5 convention is conducted by delegates. Delegates, people who have been chosen by the states or the people of that state to represent that state to go in and amend the Constitution. The Constitution is the supreme law of the land, so you have to trust these people to know enough about the Constitution, about how it's supposed to work, and the limitations of federal government, right? And so we appoint or elect delegates to go in and do open-heart surgery on the Constitution.
Hmm.
We're giving them the power to amend the Constitution, which means that if they're not limited government-focused and they're not constitutionally focused, they could create amendments that would actually expand federal power.
Wow, yeah.
Take liberty from the people. Remove the sovereignty of the states. I mean, we've done that by practice, but they could actually amend the Constitution to do that.
Hmm.
And James Madison's concern, chiefest concern about having a convention in the future was who will be the delegates? There are two ways to select delegates, by appointment of the state legislators and election by popular vote. Popular vote election for constitutional representatives has not worked out well for us.
No.
I mean, that's the whole problem, right? We keep electing people who know nothing about the Constitution. We send them to Washington, D.C., and they create laws contrary to the Constitution, which end up destroying our liberty, our property, and everything around us. We just talked about the EPA and the Department of Interior and all this crazy stuff, right? Well, if they're picked by the state legislators, will that be any different?
No.
Because it'll just be, who are the state legislators going to pick? If they're a Republican state, who are they going to pick?
Republican.
If they're a Democrat state, who are they going to pick?
Democrat.
Now, are they going to be concerned whether those Republicans or Democrats actually have constitutional training and understanding?
No.
Are they going to be concerned whether those delegates are actually going to preserve the liberty of the people?
Mm-mm.
I mean, they're going to be concerned that it's a Republican, and it's going to turn into a Republican-Democrat fight. And Madison said, the biggest threat we had was that we would find the people who created the problem to be delegates and then ask them to fix it, too.
Wow.
Well, so say goodbye, Elizabeth.
Well, again, thank you so much. It's been a wonderful blessing. I've had so much fun, and this has been a wonderful adventure. It's been great to meet you guys, and have a good evening.
Did you want other people to do this, too, sometime?
Absolutely. You got to try it.
God bless you guys. See you tomorrow.